I call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Ms. Reinchild?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we will move to public communication.
Let me, Madam President, let me step out and see if there's anybody waiting.
Thank you. Nobody? Okay. Nobody for public communication, so we will move to the board work session.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew, so I will, since I'm the delegate for the Ohio School Board Association, we have two meetings, actually, this Thursday, the 22nd at 6:30, and the October 29th at 6:30. The October 22nd meeting is a business meeting, and the 29th is the delegate meeting. So they're both remote, and I've been signed up, and I'll be attending both of those, and I'll bring back some updates in the November meeting for everybody.
Then, just thought maybe we might want to have some conversation about future meetings and trying to bring back some of the recognition programs that we have had. I don't know how the board feels. I think there's probably some agreement that bringing back the employee recognition and student recognition portions of these meetings would be very good. The question becomes, how do we go about doing that? One option, because obviously when we start to put a lot of people in the room, which we often have when board meetings are open to the public, and when we, especially when we get into the student recognition portion, we have a lot of people here. So one option for us would be to have our meetings over. We could have them in the gym here at the intermediate school. We could have them in the gym at the high school. I suppose the auditorium is an option for us as well, perhaps. But I think the gym seems to me to probably be the best bet in terms of being able to socially distance people. But if that is something that the board is interested in doing, we could change our meeting location and work to try to bring back some of those recognition segments for the meeting in November.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, starting with public communication is good. I hope more people start coming. But I think slowly we have to start reintroducing and getting back to as normal as possible. I think that would be good. In a different location is fine, you know, spread out.
So I will check the building schedules. The only concern I have is obviously we're getting into basketball season,
yeah.
So the gym might be a little bit, that might be a little shaky, but maybe if we make arrangements early, perhaps we might be able to get that worked in. Thoughts on the auditorium at the high school?
Those are the best parts of the meeting, the recognition of the students
yeah.
and the staff. I think as soon as we can do that would be great. High school's fine, wherever, you tell us the location.
Yeah.
Whatever will accommodate
correct.
The group. You might have groups, you know, after seasons, right? So you might have teams. I don't know if you're going to do any of that.
Yeah.
Athletic recognition
right.
too. So,
right.
I mean, the most we can, if we could maximize that.
Yeah.
That space would allow it, I think.
Volleyball team,
yeah.
league
right. So there's
great.
Lots of things to recognize, and
okay.
again, that's the good part of the job.
I have a little bit of concern about from a space standpoint with the auditorium.
Yeah.
I think getting all of us on the stage and allowing us to be 6 feet apart might be a little bit of a challenge. And then having enough room in the auditorium, depending upon how many people we were having, mm-hmm. that might be a little bit of a challenge too. I think the gym would probably be our best bet, but let me do a little work and we'll see what we can come up with. But okay. I would like to bring those segments back. Okay. I'll have to talk to the athletic director and see what the availability is for gyms. So.
Well, the high school gym will be out because they have days on Tuesday evenings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we will work on that.
Okay.
I'd make a note that we're having some internet issues during the meeting too.
Oh, this evening?
Yeah.
But no, we're not on Facebook right now, are we?
No, but for the recording though, but I guess as Mr. Mustine has alluded to, for the purposes of the recording, we are having internet problems, and so this meeting is being recorded and will be posted to Facebook. Unfortunately, we are not able to broadcast, apparently, due to the connection problems we are having with the World Wide Web. We apologize for that, but we will see that the meeting gets posted on Facebook. I think we can move to approval of board minutes if you would like.
Do you want to go to Capital Conference?
I did.
Oh, I think you were talking about your meetings. Sorry.
That is Capital Conference.
Okay.
Oh, and Capital Conference. Well, you know, we
yeah,
did talk
we
about
did.
That. Right, right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. So I'll be attending some of those sessions, but.
It's okay. And for any members of the board who would like to attend, obviously this year's Capital Conference will be held virtually.
That's right.
The meeting. Is I believe November 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Of course, I can't get to my calendar. There
sorry,
is.
Tula.
No,
November
okay.
8th, 9th, and 10th, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So if there is an interest in attending the Capital Conference, it is a wonderful trade show. It's the biggest education trade show in the state, and I believe it's the biggest education trade show in the Midwest except for Chicago. It's a very good trade show, and hopefully this year, although it's being done virtually, mm-hmm. hopefully it's just as good, and we look forward to being able to go back in person hopefully next year. But if you're interested in attending, if there is any interest, please let Mr. Mustine know so that we can make our reservations.
Yeah, just so I have Ms. Reinschel that wants to attend, Mrs. Cooley that wants to attend, Ms. Sinekis that wants to attend, and Mr. Mason, Tolls will be picking up yours again, correct?
Yep, I attend two Tolls.
Mr. Eisler and I will also be attending. So that puts us at 5. The cutoff for the unlimited number of people to attend is 7. So if we were to get 2 more people that would want, or we would want to attend, that would put us at the unlimited. So, but as soon as we get a final count, I'll make sure I get everybody's registered. So.
Okay. Thank you.
I will throw my name out there, Todd, because if everybody else is going, I probably should do it. That way I know what everybody's talking about.
Okay. So then we'd need one more then, and then we can open it up to anybody in the district who would like to attend, you know, our supervisors and other administrators. So.
That's good.
Okay.
All right, we will move on to the approval of the board minutes.
Madam President, I make a motion that the minutes of the September 15th, 2020 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Stonegrove?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
No student recognition this month or employee recognition. And no department reports, so we will move to the superintendent committee reports. Mr. Eisler.
Thank you, Mrs. Zinnikas. I appreciate it. My notes up here. So the policy committee did meet this month and met on Monday, October 12th at 5 p.m. Here in the district meeting room. The committee and I discussed several policies, all of which have to do with the Title IX updates that have taken place in law. So there are a number of policies before the board this evening for some for first reading and approval, but the one policy in particular, and then some other policies for a first reading, and we'll come back next month for a second reading and approval then. I am hoping to get the policy committee meeting, or the policy committee together again in the coming weeks. There are more policies to go through, and so we will hopefully have more policies next month as well. And then the communications committee met on Monday, October 5th. I do have an update on that, but I think I will save that for my superintendent's report this evening.
Very good. Then we'll move on to the treasurer's report. Mr. Mustang.
Thank you, Ms. Sinekis. Unfortunately, I'm not able to put this up on the screen, but for September, the financial reports, they are in the agenda there. For September, we ended the month with a general fund balance of $3,034,086. We are approximately 2% above our revenue expectations and 2% under our expenditure expectations for the year in total so far. Our revenues, if you remember last month, were down a little bit compared to the same point in time last year because of a receipt we were expecting in August that we didn't get until September. We did realize that receipt, so that allowed us, right now we're currently 6% ahead on where we were the same point in time last year as far as revenues go. So revenues are doing great. And then with expenditures, we are currently 3% under where we were the same point in time last year. So expenditures are doing very well also. Our cash position right now, we ended, we are ahead of our expectation for our cash position, and we are currently doing better than we have since 2017 at this point in time in the year. So things are moving in the right direction there as well. We are currently, based on where we finished the year last year, we're 15% ahead. We finished the last year with $2.6 million. We're currently at $3,034,000. So we're still keeping an eye on November and December and January, where we have that batwing effect in the low period. As of this time, it does not look like we're going to need that $1 million tax anticipation note. But it's still in the spending plan as an estimate at this time, just in case. So we're following that closely. But it looks like we're going to be okay.
Good.
That's good to hear.
Other than that, that's all I have. I will have for you the five-year forecast in November. That's due by November 30th to be filed. So next month's board meeting is plenty of time. So I'll have that for you. And I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Schooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stenbrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Moving to the Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Madam President. I had hoped to be able to show you a presentation tonight with slides, but unfortunately I am not going to be able to do that. So I will run through this, and then I will see that it gets placed in the agenda, and I will share the document with you electronically as well so that you can see what is there. I want to give due credit. Ms. Kirksby put this presentation together for me, so I owe her a debt of gratitude for that. The first piece of my superintendent's report is just a little bit of an overview of the state report card. It came out within days of our board meeting last month, and as I noted, I said that we would have a little bit of a presentation this month on it. Because of the school closure in the spring, state testing did not occur. And so that has had a major impact on the data that is available on the state report card this year. There are absolutely no grades on the state report card this year, and there is very little data available. So I will take you through a few things here and just kind of run through There are no district grades or school grades. There are no component grades this year. There is no, so that's the grade piece. Now, that with on the data side, there is no data for achievement. There is no data for progress or gap closing. There is also no gifted data and no chronic absenteeism data either. There is minimal data for improving at-risk K to 3 readers, and there is some data available for graduation and prepared for success, since these areas are based on previous school years. So our graduation rate, our four-year graduation rate, which starts with the class of 2019 and works back, is 93.8%, and so that is a good number. That would have been good enough if there had been a grade given, it would have been good enough for an A. Barely, but it would have been good enough. And then our five-year graduation rate is 98.1%, and so that's for the class of 2018, and so very pleased with that. So those both would have been A's if they had been graded. With regard to prepared for success, our score is 29.3%. That is a 1% increase from last year. Ms. Grigsby has talked about the difficulty with this particular measure in the past, and so I won't go into that at this point in time, but we did have a 1% increase, so certainly we'll take that over a decrease. In terms of improving at-risk K-3 readers, the data that is there right now, simply it's 97.7%, but the number represents the number of students who matriculated on to fourth grade. Because there was no third grade, because there was no spring testing, and this data normally reflects the state testing data for reading, the number of students who would have qualified through the state testing for the third grade reading guarantee, or who would have been proficient, this number is, it's apples to oranges in terms of comparison. So that number, it's there, but it's not what the number normally represents. There is some data there for improving at-risk K through 3 readers. We have some, there is some data, but obviously without spring testing last year, that data is not complete. But there is we have a slide on that in terms of the number of students who are on track and off track. And then we get into a couple of slides here towards the end, and what I think I will do, if I can, is I'm going to hold my computer up and I'm going to show you. This blue line represents the number of readers last spring, who were off track. So that's last year's number. So every year when the kids come in, we do diagnostic testing. And we see who is on track and who is off track. This blue line represents the number of students who were off track last year. This red line then represents the number of students in grades kindergarten through second grade who were off track this year. And so there is a significant difference in the number of students who are off track. And then if you, this chart here, kind of shows the same thing a little bit. This is the number of students who were off track last year. This is the number of students who were off track this year. And you can see there's obviously a significant difference in kindergarten, but there's, when you start to get into first, second, and third grade, there is a really steep difference. And so this is some data that supports the fact that it is really important for students to be here as much as possible. Missing that fourth quarter of reading instruction last year for kids was not helpful at all. And as Ms. Grigsby pointed out to me as well, if the state decides that they're going to grade, and of course, everyone in the state is in this boat, and I don't know what other districts' numbers are, I haven't had a chance to look at that, but my guess is they're probably facing a similar dilemma because they were all closed the same way we were. But if the state does decide to grade this, our report card score in this area stands to take a significant hit. A little bit of evidence to support something that I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, but the idea of keeping kids in school and how important it is for them actually to be here. That is the overview. There is not a lot there. Without the testing data in the spring, there is a significant impact to the report card. So we will see what happens this year. Obviously, there are a lot of schools who are in a hybrid model right now. There are some schools. I'm told there's a major school district in Ohio that apparently announced today, I believe, that they were going fully remote. It's hard to tell how things are going to go. So we'll see. But that's the report card. That's all I have in terms of that. I would like to talk a little bit about our where we are at in terms of our reopening plan and how things are going. A couple of weeks ago, when just before the county went red, there were some indications that the county was going to go to red or level 3 in the state alert system. I had sent out communication to our families, and I said that if we were to be red for 2 weeks in a row, we would have to take a look. We would have to take a look at potentially going hybrid. And so we have done that. We have looked. And I have consulted, and I am in frequent and regular communication with Madison County Public Health. I am frequent and regular communication. At this juncture, as we sit here this evening, to date, our school district has had 5 cases of COVID-19. If there is good news, and of course we don't want 5 cases, we don't want anybody to get this virus. But the good news is that at this point in time, we do not have any evidence to suggest that any of the 5 cases are linked. And so there is no evidence at this point in time that there is any kind of sustained spread within the buildings. And I think that's significant. And what that means is that the 5 people that were identified in the district that had it, they brought it in, to the best of our knowledge, brought it in from the community. It was not something that was spread here. And so I think that is significant. I have talked at length in the past, or I should say I've mentioned several times in the past about the importance of education and how important it is for kids to be here. I believe for most students, and most is the key word, being in school 5 days a week is with a teacher and with classmates is the best way to learn. There is something to say about that. That may not be true for all students, but for most of them it is. And then we have students in our district who benefit tremendously by coming to school because they get food here. And for many of our students as well, the benefits from a social emotional standpoint, in terms of emotional and mental health, and the support that they get from a social and emotional standpoint is very important. And so I think health and safety is obviously our number one job. But given the fact and where we are right now, and understanding the fact that it appears that the county is probably going to be in this red designation for several weeks, because other counties like ours that are demographically similar, and I think just other counties in general, when they've gotten to this red designation, they've been in it for a month or a little more oftentimes. We're probably going to be in this for a while. But right now, with the information that we have and the data that we have, there does not seem to be, there is no evidence at this point in time of any kind of sustained spread within the buildings. And so I am recommending that we keep our students here at school for as long as we can. The other piece of this, and it's an important piece, but it's a corollary piece, is that our parents depend to a degree on being able to send their children to school so that they can go to work. And so for those parents, it's important for them to be able to provide an income. And so there, as there is a partnership here, I want to do what I can, as long as the children are safe, as safe as can be, I want to be able to keep them here. And so I am recommending that we continue in the model that we are in. My plan is to communicate this to our families tomorrow. I anticipate there will be an announcement on Thursday, as there always is, at least in recent months, about, you know, the state and what is happening with regard to COVID-19 and the assessment levels. And I expect that we'll probably still be in red. So that is what my recommendation is. Our responsible restart plan talks about the fact that we are to consult with Madison County Public Health and make decisions. So that is what we've done. So that is that part of my superintendent's report. The other thing, though, that I would like to share, the third topic, is some good news. We have been working on a website redesign. That is a piece that I have, and I know all of you have gotten some feedback about, that, you know, we would like some improvements and some enhancements there, and so we have been working on that. And I am happy to say that we are close to completion. And to be able to do that, we are going to need to put the website under construction a little bit. And so I sent an email out to parents today, and we posted on the website and on Facebook, that tomorrow, when people visit the website, they will be able to see that it is under construction. We will put a banner up that says that, and there will be some work being done on the site the rest of the week, provided we have internet access. And and we will work to get that site up, and our plan is to have it up and running on Monday. And as I mentioned today in the communication to parents and guardians and community members, there may be a few tweaks that need to occur even after Monday. The people that have done this before have kind of indicated that even when you get to the point where you think you're good, there are probably going to be a few other things that you didn't really catch. And so I asked family members today if on Monday they see a few things to reach out to one of our central office staff members who is kind of heading this up, and we'll work to make adjustments. But I'm excited about it. I hope that people will like the new look. I hope they will find it a little bit easier to navigate, a little bit easier to find information. We are working to remove some of the old stuff and try to make things simpler. And of course, there will be an adjustment period, but I'm hopeful that it will be good. The other thing that I wanted to let folks know is that either in tandem with or shortly after, we are going to have a Madison Plains Local School District mobile app. And so we are excited about that. There has been work done on that too. And provided we get everything up and moving with the website the way we would like to, that should be up and running for our community members as well very shortly. And so we're excited about that. And these are all part of our efforts to continue to enhance our communication here within the district. And so I'm excited about it, and I think the folks who are working on it are too. And so I'm anxious for the community to be able to see what we've done, and I certainly hope that they're pleased. But those are some big things that we have going on, and looking forward to more.
Very good. Thank you. So moving to policy and governance.
Just a few policies, like, as I mentioned before this evening, all related to Title IX.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items K2 through K3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mrs. Inger?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Moving to unfinished business.
You want to talk about it?
These are the financial reports that were tabled at the last meeting due to not providing them in as much of an advance notice as I would have liked. So at the request of the board, we tabled those until they could be properly reviewed by the board, and that's why they're here before you in unfinished business tonight.
Thank you, Todd. Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items L2.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving to business.
And just a number of fairly... fairly routine things, but there are two different items before you. They will require separate votes. I can't say that either of these are routine, my apologies. But there is one contract for a service provider, and then there is another contract for a service provider, copiers in this case, within the district as well. We will need two separate motions and two separate votes, though.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items M2.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that we approve item M3.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Abstain.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you. Moving to personnel.
This is where we have a number of routine items.
Sure.
And so there are a number of things here in terms of employment of coaches, substitute cooks, a custodian, and supplemental contracts, a volunteer bowling coach, and a couple of transfers within the food service department.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items N2 through N8.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Abstain.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Moving to donations.
And a few donations before the board this evening as well. Some items from the Columbus Foundation through the class of 66. We are grateful for their continued support. They have been very good to us, and as I said, we are grateful. A donation from Tom and Diane Bollinger for some laptop computer bags, and then a $2,000 donation from Stanley Electric for extracurricular activities. There is a $385 that is earmarked for volleyball, but the rest is up to our discretion in terms of how we use it with extracurricular. So we are grateful to each and every donor for their generosity and support of Madison Plains Local Schools.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations.
Second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries five zero.
Okay, we do not have anything new, but we do have an executive session, so I make the motion to enter into executive session at 7:36 for the purpose of the following items allowed under the Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment, compensation, and discipline of a public employee.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchild?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Motion carries five zero for executive session.
Okay, there will be no action taken after the executive session, and our next meeting will be November 17th at 7 p.m.
Potentially somewhere else.
Yes, potentially somewhere else. We will communicate the location. Thank you.